Good morning, welcome to Edmund Audio. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about doing this podcast is that it helps me talk about, gives me a venue to talk about how I want to be in the world and what I can do to be that way. And that means that the next time I'm faced with a similar challenge, I have it more consciously at the top of my mind how I want to be and what I can do. So yesterday, our old dog shit on the floor right as my wife was leaving. And this morning, despite our best efforts to get her out three times, she shit on the floor right as I was trying to leave. This time even worse, and it was really helpful to have talked about it yesterday, because it meant that even though I was aggravated and upset by it this morning, because, for instance, I'd talked about physiological sigh, where you breathe in twice and then you exhale. I found myself doing that, and I found myself thinking, oh, I'm doing this because I talked about it yesterday and saying that would be good to do in this circumstance. And you know what? It was good to do in that circumstance. So this is all a good example of the fact that I mostly do this podcast for myself as a way of thinking about how I would like to exist in the world. And I certainly don't achieve that most days, but this gets me a little bit closer. Yesterday, I spent basically all day doing this rearranging project in the wood yard, where we keep all of our firewood. We had this kind of crummy little woodshed that I built that didn't do a great job of protecting the wood from the rain. But it's just something I put up maybe the second year that we moved in, so 7 years ago, 8 years ago, as a way of expanding the amount of wood storage that we had. And, you know, you have parts of your, well, parts of your environment that you just kind of, things pile up. You kind of avoid them because things have piled up there. We all have them. I have them. I still have them. This was one such area. And I knew I needed to dismantle and rebuild this woodshed. And I needed to do it before our wood arrived this spring from the guy we order our firewood from. We get it in the spring, I try to stack it immediately, and that way it's done and curing over the course of the summer. And a big stack of firewood isn't in the way, a big pile of firewood isn't in the way in the driveway. Well, in order for that to be true, I needed to rebuild this woodshed so that we'd have room to store the firewood, because we always have a certain amount left over. I try not to just run us right to the end. So the big woodshed is still about half full, and it'll probably go down to a third full by the time the next round of firewood comes in. I needed to do this project sooner rather than later, because sometime in the next month, maybe 2 months, we're going to get the new firewood. Not to mention the fact that I also have plans for the area that I call the wood yard, where I really want to get a sauna, a barrel sauna, because I think it will be tremendously helpful for me, and think it will be an important investment in my health and the health of my family, and I want to do it sooner rather than later. Now, the spot where I think we're going to put the barrel sauna is actually where the cold plunge is right now. There's a little set-in in the rock retaining wall there. You know, it must have been a part of a foundation for an attached barn, would be my guess. And for whatever reason, it's kicked in a foot and a half, 2 feet there. And that will be helpful in putting the sauna, tucking it in right behind the house. And then move the cold plunge sort of closer to the woodshed. Now, for that to work, first of all, that woodshed needed to be rebuilt, and also the shutter fence that I built for privacy in the cold plunge needed to be expanded out and rebuilt so that it enclosed more of the wood yard. And looking at the weather, I thought, you know what, this week I'm carving spoon of the month, I'm getting the magazine to the printers, and I have time to spend a day doing that. And yesterday was the day that it wasn't supposed to be rainy. Now it looks like Friday's going to be sunny as well, but at the time it looked like Tuesday through Friday were going to be all rain. Yesterday was the day when it wasn't going to be sunny, but at least it wasn't going to be raining. So I go into the project with that in mind, of like, this is my window of opportunity. The goal is to rebuild the woodshed, dismantle it, build this sort of addition to the big woodshed to replace it, move the shutter fence and expand it, and then, if I have time, build a new lid for the cold plunge, because the rigid foam lid was getting a little chewed up and gross. So I went into the project with that time frame in mind. You know, I think it's very true that things expand to fit the time frame you give them. And so telling myself, okay, you know, by lunchtime I need to have this all dismantled and have gone to the hardware store to get whatever I need to flesh out the project. And then right after lunch, boom, start building. And I need to build fast. That really helped me keep that kind of momentum going. And sure enough, by 5:15, I was done. I'd done all three of those things. Really happy with how it turned out. And, you know, I tried my best to salvage and reuse as many of the pieces as possible. And so in the end, all I had to buy was some 2x4s, a couple of 2x6s, some Timberlock screws, and some boards for the cold plunge lid. But all of the posts, many of the smaller pieces, and all of the footings, I was able to salvage from lumber from the previous project. And what I love about working this way, and I do it a lot, is the creative constraint of working, of using up as much as possible what you already have, means that you end up with a design that is like just the right amount, I'm going to use a phrase here, just the right amount of hammer for the nail, which I love, this idea that, you know, you're going to go pound in a nail. You could pound it in with twice as many blows as you actually need, or you could pound it in just the right amount. And there's an elegance to that, pounding it in just the right amount. And there's an elegance to making something where, because of the creative constraints you've placed on it, you know, I want to spend as little money as possible. These are my materials. It turns out a certain way. And that certain way is not necessarily better or worse than how it would have turned out, but a certain way has a rightness to how it feels that stems from the fact that the design is a result of the materials that you have on hand. And that, I think, echoes through, well, when it turns out well, it like really feels good. Here's an example. the previous woodshed that I tore down had 6 cedar posts, 4x4s, that were in the ground. And because they were in the ground, which is stupid of me, the ends had rotted over the course of 7 years. Pretty wet area. Some were rotted more than others. But I trimmed them all down with a chainsaw. And this is why I use footers. I use a more robust section of cedar log. And when that does rot out, which it will in 10, 15 years, I can simply prop up the roof line of whatever it is that had the post that rotted out, pull out the old post, pop in a new post, pull out the old footer, pop in a new footer, and screw it to the post. I've done this several times. It works a treat. It means that you don't have to rebuild something just because the footer rotted out. So I had 6 of these cedar posts. Well, two of them got used building the new woodshed extension. And then 3 of them got used as posts holding up the new shutter gate. And that's because, come on, Willa, come here. That's because the shutter gate was attached at one end and then had a gate that used 2 of the posts. And then at the other end, it was not attached to the... Willa, hop in. Come here. Willa, in. It was attached to one of the posts of our pizza oven. So if you're counting here, I've now used up 5 of the cedar posts. Well, I realize that that's what's going to happen. And that has me figure that, well, it'll probably firm up the fence and make it last better if I make kind of like a Shinto gate by letting the 2 posts of the, that are on either side of the gate be extra tall, and then laying a third one across them to make a little cross piece. Or like a Shinto gate, or like a ranch gate is often where this is done also. So I allowed the length, you know, 2 of the 3 remaining posts were the same length. I set those aside. The third one I let dictate the width of the opening, allowing for a little bit of overhang. And then it turned out that the remaining shutters that I had perfectly closed the gap between the edge of the gate and the pizza oven. So you can see how in reusing the material and in paying attention to what material I had and thinking through what would be possible to do with it, I ended up with this really compelling design that's really quite lovely and feels elegant and understated and just classy, where nothing looks awkward. It all looks like I planned it out that way, but really it was about paying attention to the constraints and then coming up with a plan that used those constraints to their best possible advantage. And that's what I love about recycling material, is not that, you know, you end up with something that has wabi-sabi or whatever. Like, I really don't care about that particularly. It's more that the designs you end up with, if you do it with attention, are just cooler. They're just cooler. And so whenever I do a project, I first take stock of what I have and see if I can build something using only what I have. And maybe I need to buy a few extra pieces of lumber, and maybe I need to buy some extra fasteners. But by and large, working with what I have just makes it more interesting. So for instance, the other thing is, so the new woodshed extension is not as deep as the other side, or it's not as long, however you want to say it. So the main woodshed is 12 feet wide, and then the other woodshed is more like 8 feet wide. And that's because that's how much width the sheet metal that I had would cover.
And so rather than go and buy, you know, another piece of sheet metal to make it work or figure out which of my now crummy pieces of sheet metal remaining would be the least crummy to use, I decided let's just let one side be less, be shorter than the other side. And what that means is that the opening to the woodshed is kind of at an angle now, because one side is shorter than the other. So if you can imagine that looking down at it from above, it means that the entrance, instead of being centered on the one of the flat sides, is actually, there's like a corner lopped off. And that corner lopped off creates a natural sort of entrance to the woodshed that otherwise wouldn't be there. And that natural entrance, it feels really cool. It feels complex. It feels interesting. But it's the result of allowing the limitation on the amount of sheet metal dictate the design to a great extent. And so that's another good example of allowing the materials that you have to some extent constrain the design and allowing that to, you know, it's like a haiku. It's like you come up with cooler stuff when the sky is not the limit. I like looking at architectural accounts on Instagram. And honestly, my favorite accounts are ones that show like kind of like normal farmhouses that, even though they're maybe a little showy inside, you can still imagine putting your stuff down and living there. And I find the more architecturally driven accounts somewhat interesting, but my big complaint with them is that they feel kind of empty. And I think part of why they feel empty is because they're essentially an exercise in if building the thing as easily as possible is not the goal, if we're going to allow for part of the thing to be just we'll make it whatever it takes, we will make it that way, and you know it will be an expression of some cool idea rather than an expression of the constraints, you end up with this architecture that's, I don't know, kind of theoretically interesting but actually lacks soul. And I think that that's what design constraints give you, is it gives you soul, because there's all of a sudden there's a reason, a thought out reason behind, come on dogs, let's go. There's a thought out reason behind the design, and there's like an actual reason. Whereas with some of these more architecturally concept pieces, it's like the reason isn't real. It's just someone saying, ooh, that would be cool. But it's not actually real. And so I find myself not caring nearly as much. Well, that's my two cents anyways. Thank you all for listening. Talk tomorrow.